So here we are this morning. Would you go in your Bibles or device or watch it on the big screen? Luke 18. A couple of verses in my on. Yes, Luke 18. Luke 18. And just read this first story here where the scripture says this. Are you all with me? Luke 18, 1 through 8, where Luke says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable. He told them a story to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. And now here's the story. He says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And so here we have a judge who's pretty indifferent. He perhaps is on a power trip, having the power to be the kind of judge that he is. Doesn't care. He's going to make his rulings. He'll see who he wants to see. Pitted against one of the weakest, especially then, weakest people in society, a widow. And this widow is coming to him for justice, for a ruling from this judge. And we're told for some time he refused. He was quite indifferent to her situation. He doesn't have time for such trifles. It says, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her continual coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. What does he say? He says, even though I don't fear God, I don't care about people, completely indifferent to her situation and anyone else's. He says, yet because she keeps what? Bothering me. Because she keeps bothering. She's hounding me. She's like a dog at my heels, unrelentless. So she's going to wear me out. The phone rings. Who is it? You know who. Ay, ay, ay. So she's going to eventually, he says, I'm going to give her what she wants. He says, listen to what the unjust says. And then Jesus says, that's what God's like. Pretty amazing to compare that unjust judge and what he's like to what God can be like. He says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Notice what it says, who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? He says, I'll tell you, they're going to get justice, and they're going to get it quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of thing going on? Will he find this kind of faith at work in praying people? Let's pray. And so, Lord, as we now look into this word about prayer, I ask for your anointing and that you, by your Holy Spirit, who is the master teacher, would speak to us, not merely giving to us information, a principle here, a lesson learned there, but something that would so affect our lives to make us the kind of people when we pray that you want us to be. Amen. And so I want to preach this morning about prayer, of course, and I'm calling it training in praying. Training in praying, or how it is learning how to bother God with your prayers. Learning how to bother God with your prayers. Let me start by asking this question. And I'm genuinely, this is not just rhetorical. You can respond, okay? Why do you think it's easy to pray and give up? Fair enough. You ever feel like that? You know, what difference is this going to make? I mean, he's got a mind of his own. So why pray? And doesn't it feel like that sometimes anyways? Oh, well, prayed long enough. I guess God's just going to do what he wants, so I'll stop. Why is it easy to pray and give up? Notice why Jesus tells a story about this indifferent judge and this weak, apparently weak, or we should, not so much weak widow, as a widow with no real pull, influence. You know? And he tells the story, and his point is, don't give up when you pray. Don't give up when you pray. Why? This past week, I mean, I had a bad week this past week. And some of it, you know, was due to just not feeling good and edging ever closer. And then other internal things in my life. And one of them, and this started on Monday, my bad week, you know, it's like, you know, if it would only started on Thursday or Friday, but Monday morning. And Monday morning, I was driving. In fact, I was driving down to go to the emergency room, and I started to enumerate in my mind as I was complaining to the Lord about some of my prayers. And I was enumerating all of the prayers in my life that I have been praying for a long, long time that I would put in the category of unanswered prayers. And I came up with 12 of them, 12 prayers that I have been praying for a long time that have yet, at least in my opinion, have had an answer from God. And it wasn't a happy time. You know, it's like, count your blessings, name them one by one, count, you'll see what God has done. It wasn't that kind of experience at all. You know, with every unanswered prayer that I listed, it was like the worse it got. Because these were heartfelt, life-touching prayers. They weren't just, you know, well, God, you know, I need $50 this week, you know, and that $50 didn't come in. Oh, no. These are prayers that are life-touching prayers that really go deep. And it's like in praying them, some for 30 years, and it's like some for at least one for maybe 35, 40 years. And it's like, God, come on. You know? No answer. And it's like, God, you know, it's one thing not to get an answer, and it's another thing to feel as though you've been indifferent to my requests. You know? It's like, haven't got time for this, Bob. And feeling somewhat like this widow, put off. You know, put off. And it's like, wow. Well, what's going on here, God? And so this morning, I'll just say this parenthetically, that what I'm about to say in some of these points, each one of the points, I'm preaching to myself, and I'm going to allow you to listen in. Okay? And so, and I mean that seriously. It's like, this was an easy message for me to put together. Because it's like, it's exactly what I need to hear this morning. You know? And it's like, you know, most of my messages, you know, my prayer is when I'm putting together messages and looking to the Lord, my prayer is, God, help me to speak to the condition of your people. And it's like, well, I'm speaking to my condition this morning, okay? So if it means anything to you, which I hope it does, God bless you. If not, I needed this morning, okay? And so Luke takes special pains here as we read in Luke 18, but throughout his book, throughout his gospel, to teach us about praying. In fact, in you flip back a couple of chapters in Luke 18, the disciples actually come to Jesus, provoked by his own example of praying, and they say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And then Jesus gives them some principles, and then he tells them a couple of stories, one story in particular, about praying. And so here he is, here again, giving us some training on praying. Some training on praying. Now, I think a more appropriate title for my message would be this. How to improve my unanswered prayer life. You know, we talk about my prayer life. We talk about our answered prayer lives. And it's like, well, how can I improve my unanswered prayer life? And so that's what I want to zero in on this morning, looking at some things and ask you the second question before we look at some training in praying principles. But ask you, do you have some unanswered prayers in your life? Have prayers that you have prayed gone unanswered? Unanswered for a long time, unanswered to where you have given up. And given up because of the reasons, you know, that we talked about. Well, you know, what's the use? God has a mind of his own anyways. It seems as though he's going to do something completely different than what I'm asking. And why pray about it? To where he appears to be, seems to be indifferent. Or, okay, you know, long enough. I'm not getting through for whatever reason. I'll just put it in the category of, well, when God's good and ready. And leave it there and off we go. And all kinds of reasons besides that. If ever we become, you know, if ever we're impatient, I think it shows up in this area the most, in our prayer lives. We're so conditioned to getting results, right? And what is it that I got to do? You know, what is the way in which I can pray that, man, this I just get the results that I'm looking for in prayer, and that it comes, you know, a week, listen, a month. You know, I can go 2 months, and then it's there. I got the result. We're so conditioned that way in looking for, you know, our expectations attached to results in that kind of way. And boy, that can really do harm to our prayer lives, especially to this thing here where Jesus says you ought to pray and always to pray and not to what? Not to what? Not to give up. And so, have you given up? You know, have you become perhaps, you know, half-hearted in your praying for things? You know, it's like, well, you know, out of duty, well, I'll mention this, but, eh. You know, why should I continue praying, as we already said? And so, training in praying. What is it? What can we say from this passage to kind of fiddle with it and see the story that Jesus told here as to how we can be helped to pray and not give up, how it is that I can improve the quality of my unanswered prayer life? You know, certainly, one of the ways that would quickly improve it would be, for heaven's sakes, to get an answer to one of those unanswered prayers. Now, I keep telling the Lord that. You know, God, if you know, it's like, God, if you want to boost my praying morale, you know, Just go ahead, knock yourself out. Just answer, out of the 12 that I mentioned, God, let me pick what I think would be really easy for you to make happen. Just, God, come on, God. Just boost my, this will really, give me a boost of adrenaline. I'll feel like I got a second wind in my prayer life to not give up. Just go ahead and I hear the Lord say, don't hold your breath. Well, okay. Boy, it could become rather defeating, and fatigue me to where, And so I've come up with a few ways in which I can improve my unanswered prayer life. How is it that I can keep on praying and not give up when the answers don't come for a long time? How is it? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't hear a lot of sermons about this, teachings about this. Some. They all center on the other side of it, How to improve your prayer life. And you hear these outstanding stories of how God came through and answered prayer. And he does, and I believe that. And I have testimonies like that, absolutely. But as I said, this week I started out badly this week when I started complaining and enumerating, counting my unanswered prayers. And it was like, this is no joke, as I'm talking to the Lord, it's like, I forgot what number, maybe number 5, when I started counting, because it was like, oh yeah, Lord, and what about this one? And it was like, I got all the way up to 12. I didn't think I would get to 12. I really didn't. It was like, oh yeah, God, and there's this prayer, and I got to mention this one, God. Here's one. And it's like, oh wait, there's another one. Here's another one, God. So what is... How do we do this? How can we improve? Well, here's the first thing that I talked to Bob about. Bob, God. But I talked, both one syllable, but that I talked to myself about. And that is this. Bob, pray looking at God and not at the situation. Now, this is big. And this is the first thing that keeps me praying and not giving up. Because if I look at the situation, I become what? Overwhelmed by the situation. The situation dictates my mood, dictates my faith, dictates my belief, dictates everything. The situation, the size of the situation, what's going on. And so there has to be this developing of habit to when I pray, I'm pushing that out of the way, you see, and I'm looking at God. Because the reality is the size of my prayer request is never bigger than the size of my God. Never. Let alone that he's bigger than the situation, he's bigger than my prayer request. You say, well, that's a big situation. And boy, to go after that in prayer, I'm asking for something big. Especially when a year goes by and it's not answered, huh? When 2 years go by and it's not answered. When 3 years goes by and it's not answered, the situation becomes that much more bigger. And to look at that in that way, to have that kind of snowball effect, is to then, it's like when the eclipse of the sun happens. How much bigger is the sun than the moon? How much bigger is the sun than the earth? See, way bigger, but yet it goes in front of it because of the distance and it blocks it. And that's what happens to the situation. And boy, we have to keep our eye on just how big God is when we pray for whatever it is that we pray for. That whatever it is that we pray for, he's bigger yet. He's bigger still. That's the first thing. The first thing is, I got to pray looking at God, not at the situation. I got to pray looking at God. I'm coming to you, God, with this. Here's the second one that Bob does, that Bob needs to hear today with these 12 situations of unanswered prayer. That, like this widow here, I have to pray in desperation. You pray in desperation. And instead of allowing the unanswered prayer to put me off, I have to become more desperate to let my cry be heard. I'm put off. You keep putting me off, the more I'm coming at you. The more stubborn I'm becoming. You put me off, I'm coming at you all that much more. And that was what this woman was doing. And it says she cried. Jesus says, who cried to him what? Day and night. Who cried to him day and night. Let your cry be heard. Let your cry be heard. And I think we forget about this, that when we pray, it is a crying out to God when we pray. There is to be that kind of desperation in behind our praying. Just look at the Psalms, for instance. How many times David says, I cried out to the Lord. He says it over and over again in Psalm 120. Psalm 120, verse 1, he says, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. That we allow the desperation of the circumstances, of the situation, to so work on us, to work in us, a desperation of energy that's put behind the request that we're making. You understand what I'm saying? I pray in desperation. Here's the next one. Pray like you're the squeaky wheel. You know about the squeaky wheel, right? It gets the oil. See? Pray like you're the squeaky wheel. That you become to God a bother. That you hear God say, oh no, she's coming again. Oh no, it's Bob. It's Rulowitz. I've actually said to the Lord on different occasions, God, it's me and I want to bother you with this. God, I got something to bother you with. Yeah. Have you ever been bothered by someone or something? You know, have you ever been bothered? I remember years ago, I tried to find it on YouTube. I couldn't find it because my memory is sketchy about it and I didn't have it right. But anyways, I remember when I was a kid watching, I thought it was a Disney cartoon of Goofy trying to sleep and there was a pesky fly in the room preventing him from sleeping. He was being bothered by a fly. And I remember him doing everything in his power to get rid of that fly, you know. And it's like, that's what I think of when I think of being bothered, you know. And that's almost the difference here between this judge and this widow. To that judge, this widow was like a little fly, you know. But I want to tell you why. All it takes is one little fly to bother you, right? And it's like, bother God like that when you pray. When you pray, pray like you're the squeaky wheel. And notice what it says. It says that she keeps bothering me. She's going to wear herself, she's going to wear me out by her continual coming. That she keeps on coming, you know? And you keep on coming at God. It's me, God. It's me again, God. Oh, yeah, it's me again. You know, and there has to be that kind of thing. You've heard me use the illustration. I'll use it again where I remember my kids were young. I can remember holding one of them. Melody, I'll use her because she's not here. Bobby doesn't like me using him when he's present. So even mentioning his name right now, he's embarrassed. But when Melody was young and holding her, and, you know, I'm in conversation, you know, talking around to people, whatever, and she wants to say something to me. And I'm ignoring her because I'm into conversation with someone else. Finally, she'll take her little hand and she'll go, "Dad, Dad, Dad," on the side of my face. And then finally, and she hooks on and it's like, "Dad." Well, that last hook on and turns my head, "Dad," she's got my attention. "What, Melody? What do you want?" Yeah. And that's the idea here. That's the idea. It's like God. And he appears to be indifferent. He appears to be indifferent. Does he not? I mean, is it just me that I think that I have lived through situations where I accuse God of not caring? It's like, boy, God, you know, you answer everybody else's prayer. You know, ding, 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 ding. What about me? You know? And that's the idea that's being conveyed here through this judge, that God can appear to be that way sometimes with us. And in the way that we prove that he's not indifferent to our cries is exactly that. We keep on getting in his face. God, God, God. Yes, Bob. Thank you for taking the time, Lord. This is what I'm after. No? With one of these 12s from 578 Bound Line Road, on that day when one of those 12s get answered, when finally one of those catch on and God says, "Okay," you're going to hear a scream. Here's the last one. You ready? Here's the last one. I want to take just a couple more minutes with this one because it's big. Pray in faith. You know, when he comes, is he going to find this kind of thing going on, this kind of faith, this kind of praying going on? Pray in faith. Now, praying in faith is big. And we could say a lot of things, but from this passage, what I want to say is this. Pray in faith. That praying in faith keeps me holding on. Praying in faith keeps me from giving up. Now, how does it do that? You see, how does it do? This is Bob talking to himself. Faith in God enables me. Faith in God enacts something. It flips the switch on something inside of me that helps me, that enables me to adjust my expectations of what the answer from God looks like, what the answer from God looks like in my perspective versus God's perspective. Come on, you got to get that. I'll help you with this. And also, praying in faith also flips a switch on something inside of me when it comes to timing and abiding God's delays. So that I learn that, and I'll say it, and I don't like this at all, that God does this. That Melody spoke about it last week. That in the delay, there's something that God is doing by not answering my prayer that is, in fact, an answer to my prayer from his perspective, but not mine. And so when I pray in faith, watch now, even though all The I's are not dotted and the T's not crossed, meaning that I don't have the whole complete picture of it in my understanding yet. Faith enables me to trust him even though the answer hasn't come like I want it to come. That's praying in faith. Or when the issue comes. It's like, for heaven's sake, God, you know, isn't 30 years long enough? I mean, come on, really now. 30 years. I'm telling, most of the prayers of the 12, I'm just trying to think in my mind. At least 25, 30% of them, four or five of them, are at least 30 years plus in the making. And yet nothing. It's like, come on, God, what's up with that? And praying in faith means that, and see, what enables me to not give up is to look at it like, well, okay, in the delay, he's doing something, and maybe, just maybe, one of these days, an I is going to be dotted and a T crossed to where I understand that an answer has come, but not like I wanted it to come. You understand? And that would be satisfying for me. You understand what I'm saying? Give me that kind of understanding, I'll be satisfied with that. And so I end with this. Are you ready to apply these things? Are you ready to apply these things so that to your unanswered prayers? Are you ready to apply these things to your life, to where you have unanswered prayers? See, and to say, and so as I look at all these 12, that I'm going to say that I'm saying this. And this is what the widow kept on going back. What did she say? God, you haven't heard the last from me on each of these prayers. I'll be back at you. Let's stand together. Amen. Let's pray. So do you have, can you list two unanswered prayers? Can you? Can you list two unanswered prayers? You've been praying for a long time. Anybody got three? Anybody? Three? Have you thought about it? You say, I got these unanswered prayers in my life. I came up with 12. That was depressing to me. I'm not kidding you. It was. It was like the more I got, it was like depressing. And so I needed this message this morning. So, Father, as we talked about these things together in your presence, Lord, the first thing I want to say is thank you for answering prayer. And I believe that you are a God answering prayer, even though I don't feel like it all the time. I know you are. And I want to thank you, Lord God, for the grace to keep praying and not to faint, not to give up on praying. Help us to use these things in our lives to do just that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.